You guys moved to Seattle not long ago. How long ago was it?
Well, we moved here at the beginning of September of last year.
2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How come?
Well, I like to do things backwards. And
you've come to the right place.
Well, let me just say, I've noticed that. I retired after 20 years, 20 plus years in social service, doing a job that I loved. And, you know, when people retire, mostly they move to Arizona. But I was there, so I had to go somewhere else when I retired. And I have my son here and grandchildren. And Melissa and I lived together, and she had lived here for over 20 years, or almost 20 years, and had been living with me for about 11 or 12. And so we packed up our little team, and here we are.
What were the years that you lived here before?
I lived in Seattle from 1986 to 2005.
Right. And, you know, because I'm interested in culture... waiting at the airport in Phoenix
with people going to culture.
People go, well, there is a certain culture. It's a certain, there's a certain way that people dress and the way they comport themselves and the things they're interested in and that kind of thing. The interesting thing I was thinking is people are going to Portland and they don't quite fit in Phoenix, right?
Right.
And the Phoenix people, you know, Portland is a little bit too granola for them. But you two seem to fit in here just great. I have problems seeing you two in Arizona.
Because we're from Tucson. And Tucson is a microcosm that really, actually there are bumper stickers that say Baja, Arizona or Free Baja, Arizona. People in Tucson, if you look at a map, a political map or any kind of a social map, Tucson exists as its own entity. A liberal, blue, literate university town. Mm-hmm. And it still has roots in the cowboy culture, in the Hispanic culture. It hasn't been so homogenized as Phoenix.
I have an indigenous friend who says that in Phoenix they kicked the indigenous people out, but in Tucson they're still there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And in Phoenix, what they did was they kicked the indigenous people out and planted orange trees and dug canals. And it's sort of like Miami in the desert. It's an unpleasant, humid, white, impersonal industry.
My that same friend, Amalia Madueño, who I visited in Taos,
yes.
He said that Phoenix is the other white city.
Yes.
Talk to us about Greyhounds. You have two Greyhounds. I love their water station, which is,
yes.
What, 2.5 feet up?
Yes.
As opposed to the typical dog watering situation.
Well, so. It's kind of like if you wanted to feed giraffes.
Right.
You know, yeah. They can't bend down. And while Greyhounds can bend down, why should they have to? And I'll just tell you a quick story. When we moved here, before we were able to move into our apartment, we lived, two dogs, one fat cat, Melissa and me, in an apartment, not an apartment, in a hotel room in SeaTac. And, you know, a motel room is pretty icky. And somehow I found these are plant stands. And it seemed to make a little sense out of our tiny living space that they had this area specifically designed for them.
Where did you find them?
In Fred Meyer, I think.
Yeah. Did you find them?
I think Melissa's hinting that she is the shopper. Mm-hmm. I'm the admirer.
I see.
But she is the shopper.
We want the record straight. But
yes.
Greyhounds, not
Greyhounds.
Not snack dogs, dachshunds, or poodles. Or two of the biggest dogs in the neighborhood. And
yes.
Probably the two fastest dogs in the neighborhood as well.
Definitely the two fastest. There is a Great Dane on the sixth floor of our building, so they're not quite the biggest.
But these are rescue dogs.
Yes, they are retired racing greyhounds, and they can't reach the speed anymore, but they may have once run at 45 miles an hour.
Wow.
Which they now do when we get off the elevator and one of us is at sort of the curve where you turn and the other one of us is at the door.
We let them off leash to run down the hall.
And what about the dog park? Do you see them? Do they? No, no dice on that.
They have no interest in running at the dog park. They want to sniff the trees and and hang out with their people or strangers if strangers are willing to pet them. And yeah, you'd never know they were race dogs at the dog park.
And they because they have never been socialized around other dogs, and because they were trained to chase, you know, the mechanical rabbit. When we're at the dog park and they see small things that look like rabbits, and they happen to be dogs, they want to chase them and catch them. And so, unfortunately, we now have to muzzle them so that, you know, there's not that social faux pas interaction. It's not like they're doing this as aggressors, they're just doing what they were trained. But the downside of that is they hate their muzzles. So often what they do at the dog park is stand there next to us, pushing on us to get the muzzles off. Right. Not a good look.
Yeah, but they've never bitten anyone, so the muzzles, but they might bite the little dog, so you have to do that.
They wouldn't bite them, they would just catch them around the neck and shake them.
Till they died.
But they wouldn't kill them, you understand? It's not like the killing so much.
I understand.
It's the neck breaking.
Yeah, right. I can just see dogs here at the Angeline with braces. That's the next thing.